welcome to Heartbeat. Today I'd like to talk to you about joy. Now there was this line that just bugged me for weeks. And why it bugged me was it just kept coming up into my mind. And I thought, oh, I really love that scripture. I really love that phrase. I wonder where it comes from. The phrase is, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." So I looked it up. I was surprised because I thought it was in a psalm, in the New Testament somewhere. No, it was actually in the Old Testament, in the book of Nehemiah. I haven't read Nehemiah for quite a few years, and I started reading where this line was from, why it was there, and it gave me so much joy. I'd love to share it with you. Now, Nehemiah was a Jewish leader who was helping rebuild Jerusalem. And all the different chapters talk about different things that he did. But we come to chapter 8, where Ezra, who's a scribe, now a scribe is a person who wrote down all the laws. Think about it, they had papyrus, a type of paper, but they continually started writing down stories, things that happened, the history of the time, but also what they felt the people of God was saying, what had been said. And the scribes would continually write and write and write, because not like today where a book and paper and stuff can last for centuries if they're looked after well. These would like fall apart or needed rewriting, needed re-putting down, adding to the stories as different people shared their stories of what happened. So this scribe Ezra was sharing with the Jewish people about the law. Because remember, the scribes are writing down the Torah, the law of God, of the Jewish people. The commandments, the laws, all the processes, all the things that they had learnt over the centuries. And this scribe started sharing with the Jewish people that they weren't doing very well with God. They'd actually sinned. They'd actually gone against the law. He knew the law. They'd gone against the law. And he wanted to say that, "You have rejected God and his covenant." And the people of God were receptive. It says they were shattered and they wept. Maybe they didn't realize how far away they'd gone from what God designed, what God's law was. Or maybe their hearts were softened at this time that they heard what Ezra had to say, and they were humbled and said, you know, we have done wrong. We need to come back to God. Now the Old Testament to me is like, you know, the people of God do well with God, and then they don't. They fall away. And the people of God do well with God and they fall away. Sounds like our normal journey. And I'm not saying that we're so high and low, but our normal journey with God is we are human and we have faults, and we don't maybe, you know, follow the Lord as best as we can, or don't even live by what we really desire to. And other times, you know, we are doing really well. We are kind. We are generous. We are committed. We are following the Lord. We are responsible, because all of that is involved in part of the law, part of the way you live, especially put out in the Old Testament, but very especially in the New Testament, because when Jesus came, he brought love to that law. Anyway, the people of God are crying. But it's interesting, because at the time when Ezra is talking to them, it's in a time of a festival. They've got a festival happening. It's called the Festival of Booths, and they're celebrating what God has done. And it is actually so many days after Yom Kippur, which is the time, and I'm probably pronouncing it incorrectly, but the time when the Jewish people came to God on the Day of Atonement to say, "Lord, we've done wrong." Now, they were trying to atone for all their sins. They would sacrifice lambs. They would, you know, fast and pray. And they were trying to say to God, we are sorry. Now we know that's what, before Jesus, before the Messiah came, that's what they did. The Jewish people. The Jewish people today still do the same. But when Jesus came and he atoned for all sin forever, we look at reading the Old Testament through the eyes of Jesus the Messiah come, through the eyes of love, of the sacrifice, of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And so we read it a little bit differently, but we see it. No, we read it the same, but we see it differently. We see it through the eyes of what God has done for us, the rest of the story, because the Old Testament is only part of the story of the people of God. In the New Testament, there is an added on people of God of the Gentiles, not just the Jewish people who then became Christians and followed Christ, but the Gentiles, the pagans, all the people that were now following Christ and continue till today, till into the future. So these people of God at the time, their hearts were humbled and they were weeping. And Nehemiah steps up because he's a leader. And he steps up and he says, stop everyone. And he says in chapter 8, verse 10, he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. He reminded them, don't weep, stop. We're in a festival, we're celebrating our God. We're acknowledging him, how holy he is. So go and eat, go and celebrate, go and drink the wine, go give to those who don't have. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So he's reminding them, okay, you have been grieving and you feel like you have done wrong. You've been shown that, you know, you've not been following the law. But we're in a festival, we're celebrating. Remember, it's the joy of the Lord who is our strength. What's this joy? They would have, you know, we know joy as a feeling of deep happiness, pleasure. But this deep, deep joy that they were talking about, Nehemiah was talking about, reminding the people of God, is so much deeper when we see it again through the eyes of what Jesus, the Son of God, has done for us. This deep, satisfying, sacred, holy joy. This joy was described like this: a deep joy beyond understanding, even beyond explaining. A joy that endures, even defies circumstances. It is a joy that lies beneath the surface of our everyday lives. A joy that seeps into our hearts, our minds, our souls, into our very being. It is a delight. The joy of the Lord is found on the road to restoration. These people felt, you know, we had done wrong. And Ezra and Nehemiah are reminding them, so come back to God, be restored by God. But it's the Lord who has totally restored us. He died on the cross and saved our souls, saved us for eternity, saved us from our sins. He has restored us, and that should bring us such deep joy. And that deep joy is a lasting joy. It's a joy that does defy our circumstances. We can have rough things happening in our life and we can still have deep joy, a trust in our God, a joy and a delight in him. God convicts us of our sin, Often our first reaction is guilt and shame, but those feelings never come from God. These people wept in the people of God that was described. They were weeping. They felt shame and guilt. And Nehemiah reminded them, don't stay there. Don't be there. Because I don't condemn you. It is a time to celebrate. And it is the joy of the Lord that makes us strong. It is the joy of the Lord that helps in our commitment. It's the joy of the Lord that makes us keep going. Once the people understood that, their eyes were open because they had failed to see. And Nehemiah was quick to point out who the Lord is. Like in Psalm 86 verse 15, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So don't get stuck in feeling like, woe is me, I'm a terrible person, I don't do this right, don't stay there. I want to remind you that the joy of the Lord is our strength. He is one that will help us out of the miry clay, as they describe it, out of the dirt, out of the mud, out of the gunk in our life. It is God, the Lord, who restores us. So don't stay in the grieving. Nehemiah reminded them, don't stay there. Don't stay in the feeling of condemnation. For the Lord has rescued you. He is rescuing you, and he will rescue you. He is our strength, our joy. You can delight in the joy of the Lord because he's a forgiving, gracious, and compassionate, merciful God. What joy that should bring us. When we falter, he forgives us. When we're doing well, he encourages us more. He claps. He laughs. He delights in us. We need to delight in him. This deep, deep joy that it's hard to explain to anyone until you feel it yourself. It's hard to describe, but the joy on your face alone should describe to people how deep it goes. The word strength in this phrase comes from a place of safety, protection, refuge, stronghold. Strong, prevail, make firm. The joy of the Lord gives me strength. Gives me courage, makes me prevail, helps me in everything. It stems from an inner strengthening from our relationship with him. When Jesus died for us, for our sins, he restored us into a loving relationship with the Father. By his suffering, he made us free. By his going to the cross, he brings us new life. He brings us joy. His mercies are new every morning. He restored us to peace with a God that cannot be undone. This peace, this freedom, this joy, this eternal life cannot be undone. His love can never be stopped towards us. He chases after us because he loves. He has a joy in getting us, in calling us, in enveloping us in his arms. How much more joy do we feel when we feel those arms around us? It is only if we reject his gift that we don't receive it. Tony Runke said, your joy rests on God's joy. John 17:13 says, but now I am coming to you and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. It is only God's joy that brings us joy. He makes the joy complete in us through him, with him, and in him is our joy. Jesus shares with us about being attached to the vine. If we're not attached to him, we don't have joy, we don't have fruit, we don't have nourishment. We actually don't have anything that's of any worth. My joy is found in him. And it says in John 15:11, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus shares so much about his joy that he has about us. In chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17 of John's Gospel, he talks about us. He talks about how he wants us, how he desires us to be his children, how he wants us for eternity to be with him. His joy is not complete until we are with him, and we are not complete until our joy, we are with him. In John 16:20, it says, your sorrow will turn into joy. Maybe life isn't going well right now, but joy will come. Because God is our joy. Jesus has won us joy. This complete joy, this fullness, is not just to the brim. It's overflowing. So it overflows to people in our lives. It overflows to others because God is abundant. He does way more than we can think and or imagine. Well, he does the same with joy. He just doesn't fill it like a glass of water to the brim. He overflows it. So he's gushing out, pouring all over, that our joy is complete. There's no spare spot that is not full of joy if we just take it, accept it, live with it. And so Jesus was trying to explain to us our joy comes from living our lives in him and with him and by his strength. This joy erases guilt and shame and the death that we deserved for our sins. Jesus ushers in true change. Jesus ushers in a heart that brings pure joy. He enlarges our hearts to love him more. And I'd like to finish with three quotes. One's from Mother Teresa. She says, joy is a net of love by which we catch souls. It's a contagious transfer of our joy to others. Pope Francis said the saints were not superhuman. They were people who loved God in their hearts and who shared this joy with others. And Saint Francis of Assisi said, where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. That's what our God brings. I want to wish you such a wonderful Easter because we know we have the joy of the Lord. He has risen again and we are waiting for his second coming, when once and for all we will all live with pure joy and pure happiness with him, in him, all together. And I remember my husband, he did a talk one day, Bruce, and he talked about it was joy that made me do it. Well, it was joy that made me do this. Happy Easter. And be joy-filled, for Jesus has won for us eternal.